1 Samuel chapter 11. Thank you, young folk, for singing for the Lord and the good stir that was in my own heart. I know it's a blessing to y'all this evening. All right? All right. Well, we've made it back and going to try to preach to you again. This morning was in that different gear. And amen. Some of them transmissions, they say, Brother Tim, you'll probably know this. I ain't a car guy. But they call it granny gear. At granny gear, you just put it in granny gear and you just truck right on. It pulls you around. Not real fast, pretty slow. Amen. But you finally get where you go. And was in granny gear this morning and probably be in granny gear again this evening. And but we sure are excited to be here this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 11. I love this chapter. I've enjoyed studying it. And we started it several weeks back. And so give me just a moment. We'll catch ourselves up on where we want to be and give you the message tonight that the Lord has upon our heart. Let's stand together. We'll read our verses one more time. 1 Samuel 11, verses 1 through 11. The Bible said, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said unto them, Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. Then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, What aileth the people that they weep? They told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. He took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of the messenger, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. The fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. He said unto the messengers that came, Thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, Tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. The messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, Tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. It came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. What a story. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening thankful for the privilege to pray, the opportunity to come in the house of the Lord tonight. We know, Lord, there's a lot of sick folk, Lord, in far worse shape than we are this evening. And so, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for the strength we have to come in tonight. Lord, I pray this opportunity of time together, Lord, would be beneficial to the children of God. And pray for those that have gathered in, those that are listening by other means. May the Savior be made to look mighty big tonight in our eyes. Lord, I pray that we'd all look unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing our help is in the Lord. And Lord, as this story will illustrate to us tonight, Lord, there is one we can go to in the deepest, darkest, most despairing times of our life and find help in Him and Him alone. And so, Lord, I pray that that truth would resonate in every heart, in every life. Lord, even in the hearts of a sinner tonight, I pray that they'd realize the only help they have is found in King Jesus saving their soul. and making them right with God. And Lord, for all that you do for sinner and saint alike, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We understand 1 Samuel chapter 11, these are the early days of this Old Testament character known as King Saul. Just a chapter or two before, you'll find that God has placed his anointing upon this man to be the first and the rightful king over Israel, that is, from a human monarch standpoint. We understand in this chapter that Saul has yet to really assume the day-to-day operations of what it's going to be a king. And by the time this chapter is over and you come in the next chapter, Saul is going to assume those responsibilities. In this text, in 1 Samuel 11, we find that this battle with the Ammonites here involves Jabesh-Gilead and the early days that are going to promote Saul to the whole and the entire nation of Israel, the people of God. It'll be upon his victory that is won here in sending the people of Jabesh-Gilead the help they need that is going to promote Saul in the eyes of all the men and women and boys and girls of the kingdom. And so we're interested in this place and in these people, and in particular the help and the work and the victory that Saul worked for them. Jabesh-Gilead has our attention tonight, verse number 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. Jabesh-Gilead, you remember we said, it's not a very well-known place or group of people in the Bible. They're not even very significant as far as some great things that they've done or was even done in them, say 1 Samuel chapter number 11. What we do find, though, is insignificant as they may seem, as well-known as they may not be, they are in a tough situation and need some help in this particular scene of the Word of God. Their name literally means, Jabesh-Gilead literally means a perpetual fountain in a dry place. So these people have a testimony that they have something that springs from way down within. Amen. They may live in a dry place, but they've got a deep running well. I'm thankful that God put a deep well inside of us as God's children. Amen. That as dry places we may find ourselves in tonight spiritually and in the world in which we live, I'm glad there's something that can bubble up. Yet we find in this text, they have been through much prior to this text, and now in this text need some assistance from a source greater than themselves. They're going to have to find it from one that is mightier than they. They're going to have to find it from somewhere that goes beyond what's deep down inside of themselves. Thank God they're going to find it, for it's over. Saul, in this text, commits his crown and authority toward them by promising them help by the heat of tomorrow's day. Verse number 9 said, when Saul hears what is going on, he said, now what I want you to do is go and say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. He said, I've heard what Nahash said he's going to do to you. I've seen how the Ammonites have encamped against you on every hand. And I've heard your cry, and I understand the predicament that you're in. He said, what I want you to know, that is, Saul is saying, I'm the king. And as your king, I want you to be assured of that by the time the heat of the day springs forth tomorrow, there'll be help had down in Jabesh-Gilead. So we're using that phrase and preaching on the thought, help for the heat of the day. Glad tonight there is help in the heat of the day. In the midst of the battle, Brother A.L., in the heat of the day, in the heat of the battle, there is help that we can find in our God. Amen. I know I can't preach it out how I want to this evening, but I'm glad. Amen, there is help for the children of God. Amen, we're not without help in this hour. We may be 7 days into needing help. Amen, we may have needed help for many a days and maybe even weeks to the point where we're at tonight. But I'm glad we're never out of the reach of the help of our God. Amen. And when he sends help, it'll be right on time and it'll be the right kind of help. And thank God victory can be ours. Amen. When it doesn't look like there's help anywhere else. Amen. Maybe we could word what Saul is saying. We could preach on this, no doubt. Amen. This is the thought of this text. Saul is saying, amen, hold on, Jabesh Gilead. Help is on the way. Amen. That's what they've been doing since Nahash showed up. They've just been holding on. Amen. They've just been trying to figure out what are we going to do. And when compromise did not work and when their own strength seemed to have failed them and their weakness shone through, and all they're left with is prayers and crying and searching and seeking. Amen. Saul said there'll be help for the heat of the day. I'm thankful for that help we have in the Lord in this hour. Amen. We noted on a few weeks ago the heritage of Jabesh Gilead in verse number 1, that part of the reason, and even much of it, for Jabesh Gilead being in this troubling time and tumultuous experience is due to the heritage that they have received. And they inherited some weaknesses that left them vulnerable to this foe. I won't re-preach it all, but we looked at their surroundings, how that their surroundings, the land that they had inherited from previous generations, had left them in a land despised and in a defenseless situation. Thereof, those 2.5 tribes that stayed on the east side of Jordan in the days of Joshua, those that had come in Moses' day and said, Moses, we see this side Jordan, and on this side of Canaan's land, it's a good place to raise cattle. And so, Moses, we're not going to go into Canaan land. We want our inheritance here. And so, through a process of conversation with Moses and God permitting it, we find that that's exactly where they stayed. Jabesh Gilead is of that half-tribe of Manasseh that was content to dwell on the wilderness side. My friend, the enemy coming against them in this chapter has a lot to do with that heritage of their surroundings. Had they been in Canaan's land, they would not have had this enemy to deal with. And yet this is the surroundings that has been poured out upon them. We see that this was not the first time they've encountered an enemy. In Judges 10 and 11, in the days of Jephthah, the judge over Israel, Jephthah had to arise for Jabesh Gilead and set them free from the hand of the enemy that had been against them. And so it seems like they're always at a disadvantage. It seems like they've inherited some things that and have left them in this defenseless situation and surrounding that now has exposed them to needing the help they need in this text. We looked at not only their surroundings, but their smallness. The fact of the matter is, in previous texts, we find a failure by the men of Jabesh Gilead. When sin had been at an all-time high in the days of the judges, sin like had never been known, sins of great perversion and despair. Morality was at an all-time low, and I'm talking about some of the most wicked, cruel things you'll read about in all the Word of God and in human history take place in Judges, prior to Judges chapter number 21. The men of Israel rose up and took a stern stand against that sin and had the men of Benjamin slain. They then come together, make a vow, they'll never allow those things to prevail among the people of God again. Well, they got looking around and said, this ain't everybody who's missing. And the lot fell upon the men of Jabesh Gilead. And because they didn't show up and commit themselves to the vow with the people of God, that they would make their stand against sin and honor God in holiness and dealing with perversion, the men of Israel went down to Jabesh Gilead and reduced them in number. In fact, the command went out, they was to slay all the men of Jabesh Gilead. And so there's an entire group of people in that town of the people of God, had it been reduced to in great number. Some time has passed when you come to 1 Samuel 11, but not enough time has passed for them to have multiplied into a crowd that is not weak because of their size. And what a sad, sad testimony and heritage that they have received. And part of that smallness now is coming to play in that they're not big enough to fight Nahash on their own. They're not able to resist him. They're not able to gather enough swords. If they could get enough swords, they don't have enough men to swing those swords. And they are reduced to a great smallness that has made them vulnerable to the enemy attacking them in this situation. And so we see the heritage of Jabesh-Gilead, the hazard of Jabesh-Gilead. In verses 1 through 3, we find in their weakness, this group of God's people encounters the enemy and is in a time of hazard, a time of danger. Amen. When Nahash and the Ammonites encamped against them, it wasn't to drink tea, and it wasn't for their good. They didn't come to bless them and to prosper the people of Jabesh-Gilead. They have encamped against them to do them harm. And when we considered this, we looked at the rising of the hazard. The rising of the hazard. And the enemy is the Ammonites, and they are led by a particular king named Nahash. Nahash, we told you and remind you tonight, literally means serpent. And is a type of Satan himself and in his attacks upon the people of God. The devil tonight has an entire army that's willing to follow him and engage, my friend, the people of God in bringing dangers in perilous times our direction. Many times when this enemy rises and brings these hazards against us, we find ourselves so weak that we cannot stand against them in our own accord. And so the men and people of Jabesh-Gilead, amen, they felt that weakness. And so at first encounter, their initial response was to invoke a small compromise with the enemy. Just make a covenant with us that you won't kill us and that you won't do us that much damage, and then we will serve thee. If you'll leave us alone a little bit, we'll be your servant. What a sad, sad response and a sad way of trying to deal with the enemy. Amen. These people of all people should know that compromise gets you in trouble. Amen. That's why they're in the surroundings they're in. That's why they're reduced to the smallness that they have. Amen. Compromise has already exposed them to this enemy. And now they think, and boy, ain't it amazing how we will, amen, justify small compromises in our life. Amen. Just so we don't have to deal with the full heat of the enemy. But may I remind you, the devil is a serpent. Amen. And I think you're nuts. If you want a snake to be a pet, you're crazy. Amen. These people take these pictures of snakes wrapped around their necks and, amen, drooping all down their arms. I mean, you got to be crazy, man. Amen. You got to be half insane. They got padded rooms in hospitals for people like that. Amen, because serpents aren't your friend. Amen, serpents are known to be a hazard. They are poisonous. Amen, they are deadly, and their bite has a sting and a burn and a pain. Amen, and a matter of hazard, amen, is associated with them, and so it is with the devil. Amen, the rising of the hazards that we have with the enemy, the reproach in the hazard. In verse number 2, we find the enemy here is willing to let the people of God live. They say, now this is what they say, I don't think they intend on it, but what the enemy says is, we'll let you live, but what we want is we want your sight, we want your suffering, and ultimately we want your shame. And that gives us the thought that the enemy, amen, in this hazard is wanting to bring a reproach upon the people of God. Amen, he wants them to be shamed. He wants them to be freaks. He wants them to be weirdos. He wants them to be maimed in some way. that, my friend, they will be viewed and looked at like a bunch of monsters, a whole town of people with one of their eyes plucked out. I mean, that would have been a reproach. That's what the devil wants out of all God's people. Hey, man, when you're lost and in sin and belong to him, he wants to kill you and take you to hell. Hey, man, when you get saved, Jesus gives you life. Hey, man, and intends for us to have abundant life. Hey, man, and so he can't kill us and he can't take our soul. Hey, man, but our enemy wants the next best thing, and that is our reproach. He wants our shame. He wants our sight. He wants to see us suffer. And as a matter of the reproach and the hazard, we find the children of Jabesh-Gilead, the people of God, need some help, amen, in their life, the respite from the hazard. The men of Jabesh-Gilead say, okay, if you'll just give us 7 days respite, and we'll see if there is any man to save us. Let us have 7 days. That's not long. Hey, man, if somebody came to you tonight, you say, well, that's 7 days. I understand 7 days is better than no days. Hey, man, but if the doctor looked at you on tomorrow and said, you got 7 days to live, 7 days ain't a long time. Hey, man, and if the enemy looks at you and says, you got 7 days or we're tearing your eye out of your head and you're going to serve us and you're going to be a shame and a reproach, 7 days is not that long. Amen. And yet that's what they asked for. Give us 7 days. 7 days. 7 days to find. Amen. 7 days to find someone who could save them. 7 days of knowing they cannot save themselves. 7 days to find somebody who will have compassion upon their need and their cry for help. And so that brings us to our third and final point, the help for Jabesh-Gilead. Amen. Saul said, you tell them people down there, amen, that tomorrow by the time the sun comes up and is hot, ye shall have help. I noted this, that as the messengers carry the cry for help, help is found in Saul of Gibeah. They said to the enemy in verse number 3, Brother Moe, they said that we are aware of our own need for help. They knew they needed help. They knew there was a need inside of them and for their families and for the people of God that they did not have the ability to exercise themselves. And yet, my friend, we find in verse number 4 that what they needed, they found one who could. Amen. There was one who could help them. The Bible said, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul. Amen. After they had tried to find it everywhere else. Amen. After they had gone to every little nook and cranny and town and city and village and province. After they had been through this tribe and this great warrior and that great warrior. The Bible said, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul. Ain't it amazing all the help we try to find in all the other places? Amen. And then we go to our king. Amen. I wonder how much help and how much worry and anxiety we would save ourselves. Amen. If we went to our king the first day, amen, rather than trying everything and everybody else, amen, there is help in Saul of Gibeah. Amen. The one who is their king, the one who has been placed above, amen, all in the land, the one who rules it all and reigns it all and controls it all, amen, is the one they finally come to and find help in. I'm glad that he could. I'm glad Saul could help them. Amen. I'm glad that Saul not only could, but I'm glad that in the end, amen, he would. And so we've noted some things about the help that they found in Saul. Number one, consider, and we already preached this, I'll move on quickly, but Saul was the sympathetic one. Saul was the sympathetic one, the one who was their help. He was the sympathetic one. In verses 4, 5, and 6, we find these men of Jabesh-Gilead. They bring the tidings to the ears of the people, and no doubt they're weeping. And when they get done telling all their predicament, they get done telling everybody, Brother Jesse, how bad it all is. The Bible said all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul, verse 5, came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And so we find here that Saul was moved by what moved those who were in need. He heard their cry. He was interested in their cry. And he came to where the cry was being made. Amen. His question, what aileth the people, is a question of concern. He was not an uninterested king. He was not a king that was too caught up in his own business to be bothered with the burdens of those in his kingdom. Oh no, friend, he is the sympathetic one. I know in time to come, in chapters to come, Saul is going to be a hardened man. He's not going to be interested in what moves others to tears and to burdens because of his own sin. But Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter number 11 and in verses 4, 5, and 6, is a wonderful picture of our Lord and our Savior, who, my friend, is the sympathetic one. Amen. You know why he's going to help them? Amen. Because he has sympathy and he has compassion toward their need. Amen. Saul not only was interested, amen, but what we find here is that no matter who they were, where they were at, or what they had done, Saul was impassioned by their cry. Amen. What has them weeping? What has them worried? What has them anxious? What has them weak? My friend, the Bible said, stirred Saul up to a spirit of anger. Amen. He got impassioned by their cry. What is this? It's like Saul is saying, what is this? Who does Nahash think he is to go picking on those that I am the king over? He may be king of the Ammonites, but I am king of Jabesh Gilead. I'm the king. I'm the one in charge of them. I'm the one that controls what goes on down there. And if he thinks he's going to come in down here without me rising up against him, and he's got another thing coming. Amen. You say, what do you see there, preacher? I see that Saul was the sympathetic one. I'm glad I've got a sympathetic Savior tonight. And what moves me moves him. Amen. Whatever my cares are, he cares about. I love what Peter said in the New Testament, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. When Lazarus died down in Bethany and the Lord eventually got there, and he said, where have you laid him? Amen. And the Lord went, and he went into the graveyard, and there by the graveside, amen, the shortest verse in your King James Bible said, Jesus wept. When Jesus began to let them tears roll off his brow, amen, he seen Mary and he seen Martha crying. He sees that Lazarus has died. He sees this crowd that is gathered round in all their mourning. And here's what they said when Jesus began to weep. They said, behold how he loved them. Amen. You know what that is? Jesus was moved by what moved them. Jesus showed up to give them help in Bethany. And Saul's going to show up in Jabesh Gilead. Amen. To give help in the heat of the day because he loved them. He is the sympathetic one. Saul was not only the sympathetic one, but Saul is the sovereign one. Amen. In verse number 7, in verse number 8, the Bible said, and he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When all was said and done, you'll find that in Bezek they numbered the men that came, and there was 330,000 men of Israel and of Judah, and it showed up Nadab, Not necessarily, amen, because they knew the need, but the king had made them aware of it, and that Saul was calling the shots. You see, he is the new king in the land, and he is able to orchestrate and organize others to bring help to Jabesh Gilead. What is he doing? He is using his authority. What Saul is doing, he is using his authority to move others in his kingdom to send help to Jabesh Gilead. Amen. I love that thought tonight. The fact of the matter is, the one in whom our help comes from, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He indeed is the sovereign one. And the help that he sends you and I many times is by using his authority to move the kingdom for those that are in need. Amen. Saul is willing to put everything on hold. Amen. He's willing to put all the kingdom business to the side. He's willing, my friend, to quit counting the treasuries. He's willing, my friend, to lay aside the political plans. He's willing, he is willing to, amen, set aside meetings that, amen, are very, very important. Amen. Am I dying on you here? Amen. That are very important. Amen. For one thing, that is Jabesh Gilead needs some help. And I say tonight, I can't tell you how many times, amen, that the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords has so sent me help. And when he got done, it was as though in my mind, amen, he had put everybody else on hold. He had put everything else on the side, amen, and was just interested in my need. I'm glad he can move the kingdom for what I'm moved about. Amen, he will move the kingdom. If we need help, the Lord is well able as the sovereign one, amen, to orchestrate and organize others to bring help to you and I. Amen, I remember days when Miss Kate and I was in Bible college. She was, amen, she went as well. And those 2 years we were married and trying to make it by, newlyweds and all of that. And buddy, I'm telling you, poor as could be. And I remember them days where, amen, you check the mail and there'd be a little piece of money in it. Amen, I remember going to church and somebody say, "We got something out in the car for you." And they'd bring little groceries and they'd bring little things along the way to help us. Amen, can I say, and I'm thankful for the people of God. And we always said thank you for their kindness and their gratitude. But you know who put that in their heart? Amen. You know who put that in their heart to do that? Amen. It was the King. It was the Sovereign One. Amen. Who orchestrates and organizes the help that the children of God need. I'm glad that's my King tonight. Amen. Saul is the Sovereign One. Saul is the Sympathetic One. And then we see in verse number 9 that Saul was the speaking one. He was the speaking one. The Bible said, "And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help." I find here that my friend Saul typifies the Lord Jesus Christ and the help we get from him in the heat of the day, in that he is the speaking one. Amen. After everything had been orchestrated, everything had been organized. Amen. Listen, Saul said, "You go down there, you run down there as fast as you can, and you give them a word that tomorrow I promise them they will have help." And so Saul, may we say it this way, had a word of assurance. He had a word of promise. He had a word, my friend, he intended on keeping. That word of assurance was for the help of Jabesh Gilead. I worded it this way. I worded it this way in my study. That the promise, and you got to understand, they needed help in verse number 1, and they can't find it in themselves. They have now gone 6 or 7 days that they have needed help, and they can't find it anywhere. They need help in 1 Samuel 11, verse number 9. They need help today. They don't need help tomorrow. They need it now. And yet I find that's exactly what they got. You say, but no, preacher, Saul said and the men said they would get their help on tomorrow. They needed it today. Amen. But what we find is the promise for help for their tomorrow was help for their today. Amen. And sometimes that's all we got to go on. Sometimes all we have for our help today is an assurance of a word of promise that help will come tomorrow. And I'm thankful for that word. I'm thankful even when it looks like help. Amen. The actual extending of that help may not be today. Amen. But if I'll just get a word from the King. Amen. If he'll just give me a word of assurance that he is aware of what I'm going through. And that he has help that is on the way. Amen. I'm glad that's help enough for today. I can make it on today. Amen. If I know the word of assurance and the help that is to come on tomorrow. Amen. I put this down. The word. Amen. The word eased their worry. Amen. Get a hold of that. It was the word that eased their worry. You say, how do you know that? Amen. Because when Saul and the men said, go down there and you tell them tomorrow. Amen. By that time, the sun be hot, ye shall have help. Verse number 10 said, therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. But Tim, that don't sound like they're worried much at all. Amen. That doesn't sound like there's any bit of angst. Amen. That doesn't sound like there's any bit of, oh, we don't know how it's going to turn out. In fact, they're being a little facetious. They done got so courageous. And now there's a boldness that rises up to them. And they look Nahash eyeball to eyeball and say, day 7's tomorrow, big boy. And we'll be out here and you can try and do to us whatever seems good to you. Now, how in the world do you go from that, amen, that state of worry to that sort of victory? Amen. I'm going to tell you because they found the speaking one. Amen. The word eased the worry of their heart. Amen. How many days have we been tore up? How many days have we been trying to find some help anywhere? Amen. We'd have found it down the monkey cage at the circus if that had helped us. We couldn't find it nowhere. Amen. And then somewhere along the way, the speaking one give a word that says, I've heard your cry, I know your need, and everything's going to be all right. Amen. And the situation doesn't change in that moment. When you get a word from the speaking one, how it eases, amen, the worry of our heart. I'm thankful I serve and know the speaking one. I thought about this. Look there in verse number 9. In verse number 9. Amen. I feel like something just broke loose, like I could about preach right now. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, notice, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. The messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Amen. Amen. There's so much I'd like to preach right here. Amen. The Bible said they showed it. Amen. They showed it. They took the word and they showed it. Evidently, amen, it had got wrote down. Evidently, Saul had signed his name to it. It didn't say they spoke it to him. It said they showed it to him. Amen. And when they seen it for themselves, amen, when they seen it for themselves, when they heard it for themselves, and it became, I'm talking about the word now, when the word became real to them, all of a sudden the Bible said simply on the mere promise of tomorrow's help, they were made glad. Can I say we ought to find, that ought to be resounding in our hearts tonight. That ought to resound in our lives on tomorrow. Amen. Whatever you've got to wake to, whatever you've got to deal with in home or in work or in life in general. Amen. I'm telling you, the mere promise of tomorrow's help ought to make us glad tonight. Amen. They didn't just get glad when Saul showed up and whipped Nahash's tail. Amen. And divided them and wore them out so great and sent them running back. Amen. They didn't wait. They didn't wait for the enemy to be destroyed. They got glad on a word. And I say, thank God I can show you in your King James Bible tonight. Amen. All the promises that God has given us on the morrows that are to come. Amen. All the promises that entail the help. Amen. That desires to be had in days to come. And Brother Jack, that word of assurance, that mere assurance of tomorrow's help ought to make us glad tonight. Amen. That word glad means they got to rejoicing. Amen. Can you imagine what Nahash and the Ammonites must have been thinking? Amen. I'm talking about they're licking their lips. Amen. They're smacking their jaws. They're sharpening their knives. They're getting their gouging spoons out, ready to go pluck some eyeballs out the next day. Amen. And in the next camp over, Jabesh Gilead shouting. And somebody says, praise the name of the Lord. And somebody else says, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. And I'm talking about it breaks out. They're running laps. Amen. They're jumping around. They're excited and blessing God on every hand. Amen. You imagine Nahash probably scratched his head and said, them folk have lost their ever loving minds. Amen. But Nahash didn't know the word that they had got from the speaking one. Amen. The one that had given them a word that said, amen, it may look bleak and it may look black and it may look burdensome. Amen. It may look absolutely hopeless tonight. Amen. But by the time the heat of the day hits your brow, tomorrow there's going to be help, more help, amen, than you can dream possible. 330,000 Israelite and Judean soldiers are coming your way. Amen. I'm glad they had a word, and the word made them glad. I think as God's children in this day, the enemy wants us to underestimate the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is our lifeline. The Word of God is what is shown to you and I. And God is faithful to help His people. And God is faithful to the promises He has made. And my friend, what He said and has done for others, He has promised to be and to do for you and I. And so, child of God, don't go out tonight dragging your tracks out. Amen. Don't live your life with the mully grubs. Amen. Be glad, be glad, be glad in your God. Amen. Our help comes from the speaking one. Amen. Amen. Well, can I end there and that be good? Amen. I've made it to the end of the radio broadcast. I was going to try to end, but I want to preach this thing when I'm rare back and just smack it in the jaws. Amen. Amen. He's the speaking one. Amen. He's the speaking one. I think that's the message tonight. Amen. Brother Jerry, I think that's the message God wants us to get a hold of tonight. He is the speaking one. Get your ears out of everything the world and the enemy and the government is saying. Get your ear tuned to heaven tonight and you'll hear what the speaking one has to say. And he ain't saying, well, I don't know how to help you. You just have to do the best you can. Ain't y'all glad that ain't the word Saul sent to Jabesh Gilead? Y'all just do the best you can. Good luck with them eyes. Oh no, Saul said, hey, I've got a word for you. I'm going to send you help on tomorrow. They said, well, that's all the help we need today. If you promising to help us tomorrow, we'll take that as help for today. They lost their worry and they got their joy back. Glad I know the speaking one. Amen. All right, we'll look at the strong one on maybe next week. And then I've got a closing point. It's going to blow your socks off. I'm telling you, it's going to blow your socks off. And we'll look here. We're studying the first part of Saul's reign. And here's Jabesh Gilead. But they're going to come back into play at the end. And Brother Mike, they're in a whole different situation. Later on, God has done some things for them. And I ain't going to say no more because it'll give it all away. You just be here, all right? Amen.